Hi, who's on the call?
Oh, hi, Sharon. It's all of the spec reduction team in St. George.
Oh, great. Hi.
Also, haha.
Who else is on the call?
Hello, Sharon, is that you?
Yeah.
Jack here.
Okay, hi, Jack. You got the list of names, right?
Somewhere.
Hi, Sharon. It's Joanne from Vancouver.
Hi, Joanne. I'm glad you made it.
I'm glad to make it, too.
Hey, did anybody have problems opening the PowerPoint?
Nope.
Okay, good.
Good morning, Sharon. It's Elle Taylor and Ruby Bendecha.
Oh, hi, Elle.
We're joining kind of impromptu. We weren't sure if we could make it, but here we are.
Oh, great. The more the merrier.
We don't have the PowerPoint. Is it possible to have it sent to us?
Yeah, I can send it to you right now. Do you want me to send it to you, Eleanor?
Could you send it to Ruby's and me? And me. Sorry.
Just a minute. Have Ruby?
Pardon?
Ruby. Betcha?
Bendecha.
Okay, I'll send it to you now. And enter it into your server.
Sharon, Ruby is with VIHA now, so her email may have changed from what it was at the ministry.
Oh, I'm sending it to Eleanor Taylor. Is that okay?
Sure. That's great. Yeah. Thanks, Sharon. Okay.
So who else has joined us?
Flory.
Hey, Flory. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me. Hello, everyone.
Hello. And it's Suzanne Gaby.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, it's Liz Cameron.
Thanks, Liz.
Good morning, Jack and Sharon. It's Jean.
Good.
Hi, it's Andrea Winkers with BC Cancer Agency Prevention Program.
Hey, Andrea. Good to have you.
Thank you.
It's Catherine Seeley with the Canadian Cancer Society.
Great.
And Stephanie McEwen from UBC Okanagan, Center of Healthy Living and Chronic Disease Prevention.
Thanks, Stephanie.
From Heart and Stroke, we have Maureen, Nicole, and Teresa.
Also from Heart and Stroke, you have Mark and Dawn and Victoria.
Wait,
hey guys.
Heart and Stroke's going to get a gold star.
Or a red one.
I think you get the toaster today, unless CCS has more of their folk out in the field there. Sure. Do you have a number of people that noted before I got on?
Not really.
Okay. Has anyone not told us who's on the line?
It's Veda.
Hi, Veda. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Good to have everyone.
We have Aaron Severs and Catherine Laird from Victoria.
Hey, thanks, Aaron and Catherine.
So you got the PowerPoint opened okay, Aaron, right?
Yeah, but thanks so much, Aaron.
And, Jack, just in case, I think we signed on before you signed on. It's the tobacco reduction team in Prince George.
Good.
12 of them, right?
12 of them?
Yeah, we're having a regional meeting, so it worked
out. Wow.
That's great, you can make it.
Okay, you guys get the toaster today.
Send it on up.
If you get up to 30, we're given a vacuum cleaner.
It would be even better if you would come and vacuum.
I'm not saying anything, but if that's what it takes to get people on to do tobacco control, I think that we'll send Sharon.
Well, that's a little sexist, Jack.
Good girl, Sharon.
Oh, my goodness, this is, Flory's going to get the wrong impression of tobacco control in BC.
So far,
anyone else
great.
Join us that hasn't had an opportunity to let us know?
Jerry's here from Fraser.
Hey, Jerry.
And it's also the Tobacco Control Division at Health Canada.
Wow. Okay. And so that's Shirley and Elizabeth and...
Jack, I just want to mention one thing before everybody gets started. Just for people who are doing work or whatever during the call or eating breakfast or anything, if you could mute the phone, that'd be great.
Yes. And so what we're going to do is we're going to get started right away so that we can give maximum time and... we really appreciate people taking the time to participate today. Just as a refresher, since most people know this, but the Clean Air Coalition, which includes the Heart and Stroke Foundation and the BC Lung Association, have been hosting these calls and meetings in the Lower Mainland for about the last 5 or 6 years. And we have a range of guest speakers that have come on the phone or live in person when they've been in the Lower Mainland. And we've been absolutely delighted to have people from all over the world, including Simon Chapman. And these calls are funded through the Ministry of Healthy Living and Sport, as well as through Health Canada. And it's through their generous support that allows us to host these calls. In fact, today's call, we have close to 35 people on the line or who have asked and requested for the PowerPoint presentations. And we want you to know that if you have colleagues or folk that would be interested in at least learning about the calls, please send the information to Sharon, and we're more than glad to put you put them on the distribution list, or when you get it, if you can send it out to people that you think might be interested, because we want to ensure that people have the opportunity to have this kind of short opportunity for personal development and learning about some of the things that are happening in tobacco control. About 2 weeks ago, I was at a meeting in Ottawa, and I had the pleasure to hear Flory Dukas talk about what's going on with flavored tobacco products and some of the work that they're doing through Physicians for Smoke-Free Canada. And after the meeting, I said to Flory, we would love to have you come on the line and share some of the good things that you're doing and some of the objectives of what you're trying to achieve through this initiative. I've known Flory for about the last 3 or 4 years. Flory took over for Heidi Rathjen, who was leading the coalition in Quebec. And Flory is a dear friend of Heidi's. And I think up until that point, Flory was not very involved in any tobacco control issues whatsoever. And it was as a result of kind of tests through fire, looking after the Quebec coalition and doing some work there, that Flory got a real taste for the advocacy work and the education work that she's doing. And as luck would have it, and she will probably share, she was doing some work around flavored tobacco products and things like the tobacco products, the new tobacco products that are being developed by the tobacco industry. And so she was able to segue over to work with Physicians for Smoke-Free Canada and take that learning with her. So I'm absolutely delighted to have her on the line. She is so knowledgeable about these issues, and they're doing some great work with this whole issue around flavored tobacco products and the campaign with the federal government. So, Flory, we want to wish you a very warm British Columbia welcome. We're absolutely delighted that you've taken time to be on the call today. Just to let everyone know that we do tape the calls, and at some point, pending funding, we're going to have a private portal on the Clean Air Coalition website where people can actually download the teleconferences that we've been having this last year, so that hopefully if people aren't able to be on the line, they can actually go back and listen. So again, Flory is going to share her knowledge about putting an end to the tobacco industry gimmicks, and she will talk for about 20 to 25 minutes. Then after that, we will open it up for questions, and we will bring the conference call to a close about 5 to 10 our time, right around 10 o'clock. So Flory, without further ado, welcome, and please proceed.
Good morning to all of you, and thank you so much for having me. I've been looking at new tobacco products and following. Does everyone hear me? Is that all right? Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure.
Perfect.
Okay.
Volume.
All right. That I've been following tobacco industry marketing strategies. And I'd say that the two that are most, the two fronts at which the industry is most active is certainly new products, flavorings, and new packaging. And as you'll see through my presentation, often we think of new packaging not in terms of new products, but I'll make the case that we should. So often when the industry is launching new products, the whole spiel that one hears is that they launch new products because they need to, or their desire to serve their customers better, or that smokers in particular demand these innovative either technologies or improvements. But when you actually look at and now please go to slide 2, when you actually start going through the tobacco industry documents, well, there's an abundance of information there, and specifically showing that the industry is the one that that needs new tobacco products the most. And they do that, and there's clear references to the fact that new products give them a possibility of overcoming existing or upcoming regulations. So slide 2, the need for constant introduction of unique new products because of extensive proliferation and possible advertising ban. So here you have a Philip Morris document showing that they are referring to new products, But when you actually look at down as what do they specify as new products, well, develop new packaging, develop variations on size and shape and flavorings. So I'd say that intuitively we don't think of new products in terms of modification to existing products, but the industry certainly does. Slide 3, so what is really a new product? Slide 4, well, another industry shows that new product ideas can encompass technological innovation, and here we do think of, or they're actually specifying that it would be a real improvement of current technology, so some type of magical filter, something that would really change the tobacco products as we know them today. But there's also a different category of new products, and that changes and improvements to existing products, so changing length, packaging, flavoring, blend, anything that has to do with additives and flavor. And then the third, and I think that's really interesting, is imagery. And so the industry recognizes that, you know, just changing the name or changing advertising or brand imagery around an existing product is enough to make it new. Slide 5. So what do new products do? Well, they enable the industry to revamp brand imagery. And that's particularly important given the ban on sponsorship and testimonials in Canada. Because when you think of, you know, going back a few years ago, if you had, you know, race car drivers seen adjacent to tobacco branded products and the imagery, well, that or festivals, that would modernize a brand's image and the imagery that's associated to specific brands, because they'll show you the festival every year or you'll be attending it. And so without too much effort, the whole imagery around surrounding brands is modernized, is made contemporary. But when you don't have that, and it's difficult to achieve it through advertising, as is the case in Canada, then certainly having young people sport and use new products, well, then they become spokespersons for the product. They tie into the whole imagery. And so the whole newness and making the product more contemporary is achieved. Slide 6. In 2005, Imperial Tobacco had launched the pack that you see in the middle, the Signature Pack, and essentially it was a new shape of packaging for 25 cigarettes. So it actually has the same amount of cigarettes as the pack that's completely on the right, the conventional slide and shell one. When you look at how we actually found out, because we saw them on the market, but Imperial Tobacco also won an award for this, and so they actually made their documents when they submitted, you know, their idea for this international award. You see what went into the development and why they did it. In 2005, the it thing on the market, you know, besides tobacco products, was the BlackBerry. And if you look at the pack, well, it certainly mimics in shape and size the BlackBerry. Most recently, there's a slide pack for the Players brand. Mm-hmm. And if people have, you know, teenagers and even like the preteens, last year I know that for my side, my nieces were asking for the new slide phones. Now they even want smaller stuff. But at the time when the slide pack was launched, the big thing was the slide phones. If you look at Imperial Tobacco's new packaging and the use of color and metallic inks, and the whole design, there's certainly a very close resemblance to what there is on the market for phones. And so this, I'm not saying that they specifically go out to copy what the IT items are, but they follow trends in marketing and packaging of other products. And so there is clearly an effort there to to make tobacco products blend in with other popular conventional products, especially those that are most desired by young people. You'll see at the bottom of the where I'm showing all the cell phones, well, that's the snus packaging for the Du Maurier snus. And keep in mind that traditionally smokeless and all the chew tobaccos were in round containers. But here you have a packaging that really kind of feels like and has the profile of many of the smallest cell phones. New products also enable the industry for a time to skirt and overcome tobacco control measures. I'm just going to give an example here when it comes to warnings. Well, Canada had, you know, groundbreaking warnings, but warnings were developed to be on, you know, on traditional cigarette packs. When you see them appearing on these iPod shaped or sized packaging, which those are the green and the black that I'm showing are Rothman, Benson & Hedges Super Slim cigarettes, and I'm picking them up on the floor a lot more now than I used to pick up Super Slim. So obviously the whole packaging has a certain appeal to it. And when you actually look at the packs, you can barely see the warnings. The warnings were not developed to be on small packaging like that. So it obviously, you know, invariably diminished the impact that these warnings can have. They're extreme. The visual clutter is just abundant. Same thing for misleading descriptors. The health community made a lot of noise to ban words like and the whole concept of light and mild. And while we may not be happy with what happened and how it was dealt with by the Consumer Bureau, the fact of the matter is that the tobacco industry within, you know, weeks, or actually they took a year to kind of train their customers and their vendors, but they changed the packaging that they had, changed the words, you know, smooth, for example, now replaces light. And that was done by introducing new packaging, or actually, as we've now seen, a new product, and that enabled them to adapt to the regulations. Next slide. New products also allow the industry to take advantage of false beliefs, misconceptions, especially those that have to do with toxicity and a misunderstanding of various risks. And then the industry, by doing so, will propose its own solutions by introducing new products that meet those false beliefs. So, for example, as governments around across Canada and, you know, the world have taken a strong stand against secondhand smoke, and there's been education campaigns, health campaigns, there's been a whole effort in trying to reduce exposure to secondhand smoke by making the risks by making people more aware of the risks. Well, the industry introduces this new brand. I'm not sure if it's available in British Columbia. It's known as Mirage, and it's produced by JTI McDonald. And it was advertised here in Ontario and Quebec abundantly in those free entertainment weeklies. It's called Mirage, and below it you see less smoke smell. Presented as new technology, actually it's been, you know, it's been available in Japan for a number of years. And when people read that, they may think that if there's less smoke smell, then there's actually less tobacco smoke. There's actually a lesser quantity of secondhand smoke that's being produced. But actually the tobacco industry, its documents show us that no, it's just camouflaging it by putting pellets of vanilla. And so it makes smokers more, feel more comfortable by smoking around people. They don't think that they're actually harming the people around them. And what we fear is that it actually makes non-smokers more tolerant of secondhand smoke. If you also look at the website for Swedish Match that talks about snus, now it doesn't matter how or where you position yourself in terms of snus. I want to point to the fact that, you know, Imperial Tobacco, when they launched snus, they talked about, you know, reduced risks, reduced hazards of the product, how there was a place for this in Canada. When you look at, you know, the largest manufacturer of snus is Swedish Match, and you look at its website, well, it actually, you know, says black on white that, you know, an average snus addict, and they call them addicts, so not users, will have the snus sachet for 10 to 12 hours per day. It's actually, you know, one sachet every hour, but snus users will have such a sachet, or will be consuming the product basically every moment that they're actually awake during the day. That's not something that the tobacco industry talked about in any of its campaigns or media releases. So again, we see that the tobacco industry will launch new products to propose solutions to what the health community has identified as a problem, as a health problem. Next slide. There's also been a lot of noise made as to regarding flavored products and price being an obstacle for youth consumption. So the tobacco industry will make products that are more appealing to youth and more generally just more convenient. So if you actually put a cigarette in a small casing, and I'd say that these products, of course, I think that youth will find them extremely appealing, but older people too. In Quebec, we regularly see and hear of adults saying that having a cigarillo that's packaged individually makes it just more convenient to go in and have a smoke at a break, and they don't feel like they're actually holding a cigarette pack and all that stigma that implies. Next slide. So for many people, the answer is standardized packaging and generic packaging. What if we were to have all these products were actually generic? That would probably solve the problem, and new products wouldn't be the problem that they are. And I'd say, well, that's true to a certain degree, and I agree with that. But we've been talking about generic packaging for 20 years now in Canada. And while there may be more noise now and internationally, I was showing you the tobacco control issue for, I think it was last, 2 months ago. So while there is a lot more noise, and I think, you know, generic packaging is likely to actually take place at some point in the near future, but I'm not sure it's going to happen tomorrow. And from what we do know, and now I'm on slide, I have it as slide 18, just keep in mind how long it takes to develop, test, and implement tobacco regulations. We know at this point that Health Canada is looking to renew the health warnings on packaging, and that's been going on for a few years. And most recently, when asked how long would it take to close the loopholes that, you know, enable tobacco manufacturers to sell these cigarette-like products, which cigarillos are, without health warnings, a Health Canada representative went on record saying that it would actually take a few years. Now, keep in mind that there are new products out there that are not currently on the Canadian market. So these are these dissolvable tobacco products. So if you're familiar with, like, the Listerine sheets, the tobacco industry, RJ Reynolds in the States, actually markets a tobacco product that's like that. There's strips. There's, like, little sticks that melt in your mouth. And these contain tobacco, and they're marketed as tobacco products. They're not currently available here, but do we have any sense that we have developed or we have envisioned what a generic model for these would be? I mean, can we expect Health Canada to have, you know, the answer when the health community actually, you know, hasn't really been talking about these or and certainly hasn't proposed a generic model for them? Same thing for these menthol cigarettes that are available in Japan and in the States. This is a menthol cigarette, which is sold as a regular cigarette. So if a smoker could smoke it just as a regular cigarette, but if they were to crush it, and then so the menthol is released at that point. So it enables a smoker to actually dose their menthol. And that's done because the industry anticipates that there'll be a ban on flavors. They don't know if menthol will be dealt with, but in the States there's already regulations prevent advertising for flavors in various states. So this is just a preview of what the industry is thinking about and how it could overcome certain regulatory measures that we would envision. And again, at this point in time, there is no jurisdiction that's actually banned menthol. We'd make the case that any ban on flavors should include menthol, and that's a whole other presentation. But this just goes to show that do we have any type of generic model for a cigarette that would be like this if there was no ban on menthol? And the answer is no. So next slide. Well, okay, but then what could be done and what can be done? Well, if we want Health Canada to stop playing catch-up to the tobacco industry's endless marketing of new deceitful gimmicks, the government must freeze the tobacco market. A market freeze is, it's actually, there are precedents for other products in Canada and elsewhere. And it's also a very common principle. And when you say a ban on new products, it's actually a moratorium. So one allows the products that are currently on the market, but you prevent new ones from entering the market. And it's a common practice in public health. You know, for the Great Lakes, for example, years ago, we knew that the lakes, and my background is environmental science, by the way, so for acid rain, there was talk of, well, what can we do for the Great Lakes? Okay, well, we have to deal with the current polluters, but we need more time to elaborate a plan and to make sure that industries comply. And to do that, we need to just freeze the production, not allow any new players in. And that's just common sense to give time for regulators to elaborate regulations that work. At this point in time, regular regulators and the health community as a whole is constantly simply reacting to products that appear on the market. And if we were to do this for a public health reason, which it is, this is not to protect our market from foreign investors or foreign producers, well, then there must also be an exemption allowing potentially beneficial products or products that serve some type of benefit to public health to enter the market. Would the tobacco industry challenge this? Well, of course they would. Anything that would, you know, that touches the bottom dollar makes the industry react. They're likely to create a lot of noise, especially using international trade agreements such as NAFTA and the WTO agreements, but also the charter, because if you say that you ban new products, you implicitly mean that you ban new advertising for new products. And you are also eliminating renewal of existing or rejuvenation of existing brand trademarks. As you see currently on the market, most packaging has been updated. If you look at Peter Jackson, it went from a more subdued shield to now something that looks much younger and brighter. And as I was saying, all the inks are just made to capture and to make the product look far more, the packaging look more metallic in nature, which is common in other products. So there would be a lot of noise that would be created, but, you know, it doesn't mean that they would succeed. And we can certainly configure a moratorium to be more robust against the various challenges. And one way to do that, as I was saying earlier, is to make it the least restrictive option to commerce. And so it's not a total ban on all products. It's a ban on new products. So there you go. You're already setting the stage for it being the least restrictive measure. Is everything okay?
I think somebody must have done something with their phone or received a call.
Okay. And there are examples of moratoriums for other products. Think of the GMO crops in Europe. In terms of tobacco sales, well, there's lots of examples in Canada where we've restricted the sale of tobacco products. We've limited it to current locations, for example. In Quebec, there's a ban on new specialized tobacco outlets for tobacconists. Those that existed in 2005 when the law was adopted can continue to exist, but they're actually grandfathered. They can't move. They can't expand. There could be no new such outlets. And in terms of the charter, well, the value of products that have not yet been introduced to the market is purely speculative. And so while there are many tobacco new products that have been extremely successful, and the cigarillos are just an example of that, but there are some that have flopped. They've flopped in Quebec particularly, but I'm sure that there are some where you are as well. For example, about 2 years ago, a cigarette known as VitaCig, it contained vitamin C, was marketed and produced by one of the large manufacturers in Quebec. They had a campaign going. They had, you know, actually they got some free, testimonials, and it was hard to figure out whether that was organized, orchestrated, or they just had people on the street saying that, well, at least they didn't feel so bad smoking because they were getting their dose of vitamin C. But that didn't work. People weren't fooled by that. So a ban on new products does not constitute expropriation. And when you look at the details of NAFTA, well, that's a criteria that the industry could challenge. But since they don't actually exist and they're not on the market, you can't say that it's expropriation. Keep in mind that current trademarks and brands would not be removed from the market. So I'm not saying that the moratorium is the answer to all our ills, but it certainly gives us a fighting chance to deal with products and product regulation in general. Slide 25. I think in this particular on this particular issue and at this particular time, the best way to achieve this and the most viable way is to go to the federal is at the federal government. I think there's kind of an alignment of stars, if I can say so. In 2008, Harper government had shown willingness to strengthen and modernize Canada's safety system for food, health, and consumer products. At that point, it was Bill C-52. When they called an election, of course, that fell through, but in January 2009, they reintroduced it. It's Bill C-6. So that the bill actually excludes tobacco. There's a statutory exemption. Tobacco is the only consumer product that's not dealt with for this. But the bill is meant to prevent problems in the first place. It gives government the authority not to just recall governments, but regulatory authority to intervene before products are put on the market. There's a burden, an additional burden for manufacturers to present and provide information on their products. It deals with products that target the highest or unknown risks, and it gives the government the ability to respond rapidly. So these are themes that we would want to apply to tobacco products. And they're being talked about it. They're being talked about in media now. If you know, there was an ad in the Hill Times just a few weeks ago. So there's a lot of buzz about this, and the best thing to do would be to include tobacco and to include new tobacco products. So while existing products could be excluded, I'd say through regulation, not a statutory exemption, as is the case, but new products should definitely fall under this bill. I'm just showing that it was relaunched in January, or there was media buzz around it. Slide 22. Well, as I was saying, the bad news is that it doesn't apply to tobacco products per se. Only their only the ignition propensity criteria. But Harper has been talking about tobacco products. He was shocked to see the new packaging and flavoring of the blunts. And these are tobacco. It's a very thin leaf of a wrapper containing tobacco or reconstituted tobacco, and it's being sold all across Canada. It comes in flavors, you know, like banana split and bubble gum. And so, when Harper saw this, he's promised to intervene. But we don't know how or when that will take place, but it just makes us more certain that we should focus at the federal level at this point and unite our forces to do so. Slide 25. During the 2008 campaign, we did some of our advocacy work and joined with the Canadian Medical Association. I'm happy to say that they were our first endorsers for this campaign, and Harper promised that he would set a minimum package size for cigarillos. He would prohibit flavors and additives that would appeal to children. Now, look, that's a good start, but it's far from perfect. What does that mean? You know, does it exempt flavors like lime, wintergreen, menthol, vitamin C? So we can see that they're definitely, you know, the devil's in the details, and we need to do more work on that. And additionally, on another front, Harper had promised that if conservatives came to power or their mandate was renewed and they won the election, then they would ban all tobacco advertising and promotion in print and electronic media, which may be viewed and read by youth. So all this to say that the government does seem keen on intervening, does seem keen to intervene on tobacco. I'd say maybe the weak part of this intervention may be that it only aims, or it only it precludes more general interventions that would touch the broad population and would only be specific to intervene when youth are being targeted. And as you know, the industry will often market to young adults because they know that youth are paying attention to that, and it only makes tobacco products more desirable if they're presented as adult-only products. So, slide number 26. We've launched a campaign in January. We had a press release. We had quite good response. I'm happy to say that we were covered in some of the media in BC. I'm showing you here of a web page that can be seen, obviously, on our website on the www.smoke-free.ca. It's in French and English. There's materials that are downloadable, and the name of the campaign is Change the Rules, Ban Flavored and Other New Tobacco Products. We hope you'll join us to put an end to tobacco industry gimmicks. As you can see, it's broader than just eliminating flavors. Flavors are just one of the new gimmicks, or the gimmicks that the industry is using, but as I hope I've convinced you, there's lots of other products that explore other traits for tobacco products and could make them just as appealing or even more so in some cases. There are things that you could do to help us out to make this happen. endorse the campaign, write and send a letter to PSC and to me saying that your organization, yourselves, or the ministry supports a ban at the federal level for flavored and new tobacco products. We hope organizations will be writing to Harper himself and CC it with a copy to critics and opposition leaders. All this information is can be seen on the website as well. We hope that federal MPs can be convinced from across Canada to champion the issue to make sure that the government makes do on its promise and actually improves what we anticipate will be on the table. We hope that groups will help us with this campaign. It's being run on a string shoe budget. Please get your network on board. The materials are downloadable, and we can certainly ship and help you provide with more materials. There's stickers and there's postcards. Slide. I think that's about it. Yeah, that's it.
Great. Well, Lori, thank you very, very much for taking the time to share. And I know that we have a bit of time for some questions. Just to let everyone know, the Clean Air Coalition will be endorsing the campaign, and we will be sending letters shortly, as you've requested. And I think that it will be, you know, possibly an interesting opportunity for other organizations on the line who are interested to participate. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted you on the call today, to show that, to demonstrate that, you know, I think many people in BC are interested in this issue and supporting the campaign, or will be as they look through it, and hopefully we'll be able to generate some letters. I know that Catherine Seeley at CCS is very interested in this issue, and I think, Catherine, you've had some discussions with Adrienne Dix about this, have you not?
I have, and I think that Flory's campaign is probably supported by Rob Cunningham of our National Public Issues Office. But we all support it across Canada.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe, Flory, what we'll do is we'll open it up for some questions. And does anyone have any questions for Flory?
Hi, Jack. It's Elle Taylor. I just have one quick question for Flory, and it's about the new super cigarette.
Yes.
I was just wondering if she would like to comment on that.
Is that the e-cig?
Yeah, I think that's what – there's a variety of names.
Okay. Well, we've been in contact with Health Canada about this, and it's unclear at this point how this is regulated. It looks like it's not regulated at all. It actually falls through the cracks, not being a therapeutic product because it's not being marketed as such, not being a tobacco product per se either. So we've Health Canada has informed, this is the Denis Chouinard's shop, has informed us that they're actually, they'll be coming out with an opinion sometime in March. All I can say is that it's, you know, there's very, very clearly constructed advertising campaign for this. I'm more familiar with what they've done in Quebec and Ontario, but just presented as a product that, you know, smokers can use to overcome smoking bans, but not really talking about anything related to health or making any health claims per se. And so that's a challenge. And we have to, I think that this is just, these are the type of products that the industry is likely to, you know, at this point, this is just being produced and manufactured in China. But what if a large manufacturer were to give it a, you know, the name of a cigarette brand, and market it very aggressively in Canada? It just shows that there's lots of loopholes that the industry is just waiting to exploit.
Thanks, Flory. We just had a colleague come back from Las Vegas, and she brought back some flyers, and the super cigarette, I guess, is being marketed heavily there.
Do they make any health claims there?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
She just came back today and handed me, you know, a kind of a collection of interesting things, and that was
okay.
So, Flory, would you be able to just explain how the e-cigarette works?
There's very low, I wouldn't say that I'm the expert on this, and that's the next thing I want to tackle next week, because I have been asked, the media have called. It's battery powered, and so they do contain nicotine, and there's various levels of cartridges. The electrical pulse that's generated will form will make the glycol turn into and water turn into a mist, and that's how the nicotine is inhaled. So there is no smoke and no tar.
Right. And if I understand correctly, they're fairly expensive, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're fairly expensive. Look, but everything is kind of pretty expensive at the beginning.
Right.
And as more, if there is a market for this and they see interest, we could certainly anticipate that the price, become really much cheaper.
Much more attractive.
Yes.
Right. Thanks, Elle. Any other questions for Flory?
Sorry, this is Health Canada, Bennett Chin.
Yes, yeah.
Just a quick comment on those e-cigarettes. Just so you know, they're being ignored as we're waiting an opinion ourselves on these products. They are being referred to one of our inspectorate divisions who are kind of monitoring it, so they're not just being ignored. Just so you know,
yes.
We are aware of it, and even in the region, it's a big issue because we're not sure where they go, and we're waiting headquarters to tell us, but they are being looked at by somebody for now.
Okay.
And Bennett, where are these cigarettes being sold, these e-cigarettes, just out of curiosity?
Honestly, a lot of the inquiries we're getting are basically from people who plan to import them or are trying to import them.
Like, okay.
We actually haven't seen any on retail shelves yet. I haven't seen any, and I'm not sure if any of the other inspectors from the health authorities have seen any. If you have, please let me know because we're quite interested in seeing what they are as well. But our inquiries are coming mainly from importers at this point.
Right.
Bennett and Jack, it's Elle again. I understand that you can buy them on, on eBay or whatever. You know what I mean? Like online.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
At this point.
Okay. Any questions for Flory about the campaign or ways that we can support the campaign or other products or any comments about some of the products?
It's Laura Johnston with Northern Health in Prince George. I'm just curious to find out with the campaign, are you doing anything with schools and youth and universities to get kind of the advocacy campaign from the youth saying we don't want this and do something about it?
Well, we had we were involved with the Flavor Gone people and another group here in Quebec, but honestly, I'm hoping that that the provincial coalitions will kind of be the transfer point for the campaign. And so, I welcome any calls that would come from such groups and the universities or whatever the youth groups, the tobacco control youth groups. I don't have them in my regular network, but I can certainly include them, and I hope that they'll be on board. So I welcome, the opportunity to work with them, but do I have the resources or, do I even have them on my radar screen at this point? The answer is no.
So on that note, Flory, what we there may be a way through. We have a kind of a small network of 10 or 12 universities that we're doing some work with, so there may be an opportunity for you to share your presentation with them, do another teleconference. You'll become a teleconference star.
Poor people. Such an annoying voice.
Good point, Laura. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much. And again, if people wish to more information or some of the materials, feel free to contact me. As I say, the campaign was designed so that people could get on board with a small budget and do things themselves. So if you were to go on the website and see the downloadable stuff, it's done on regular paper using regular labels, And anything that I were to send, that I would send you is kind of done here, except for the postcards that people can order. I do get requests for postcards, so let me just tell you that they're about $400 for 5,000 of them, and I'm pairing people up, so if people don't want full orders, I can certainly manage to print them out and make it affordable and user-friendly for them.
Great. So, Flory, on behalf of the group, I would like to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to share with us, because I think that there is a lot of interest in this, as that we see the ways that the tobacco industry morphs and moves, always seems to be almost a step or two ahead of us, and we're sometimes always playing a little bit of catch-up. And we do have on the call the movers and shakers in the province, who I think many will find a way to either send a personal letter or may see us through their organization. They may be able to send a letter of support. And I applaud you for the website and the ease with which people can download letters and, as a starting point, use that as a template to perhaps forward into the Prime Minister and other senior elected officials. Flory, on behalf of the group, we will be sending you a token of our appreciation. It's a gift certificate, and we really, really want to thank you for the presentation. And I'm sure that we will be in touch, and some people will be in touch directly if they need some advice or some comments or have some thoughts for you directly. Just want to let everyone know as well that just a couple of very quick things that. If you haven't had the opportunity, the Clean Air Coalition does have the Imagine campaign, which is Imagine Smoke-Free BC. And if you haven't had the opportunity to register, you can go on the Clean Air Coalition website. We have 11 principles, and we would encourage everyone on the call to consider demonstrating your support. You can do it personally. We have all 5 health authorities that have registered their support as organizations. We have upwards of 25 to 30 organizations that have registered their support. And so it's very useful as we try to move forward on our campaign to make BC smoke-free. In addition to that, just want to let everyone know that in likely the last week or two of March, we are looking at having Joy Johnson at a presentation in the Lower Mainland talk about some of her work, her research work through UBC, and we will send you out information on that as soon as we have confirmed the date and time with her. So look forward to that sometime late in March. And last but not least, hope everyone has a fantastic day, and we will be in touch soon. Thanks so much again, Flory, and everyone else, take care.
Thanks, Jack and Flory.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.